Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Let us continue with our teaching titled Prosperity for God's People, which I began on February 6th. I believe that every Christian will enjoy and benefit from this important teaching because it will elevate you to a better financial position in life and cause you to be a greater blessing to others. If you dare to believe and by faith apply the biblical principles we will be discussing throughout this teaching. This teaching is primarily for Christians. This corrupt economical world system that we live under is not designed for Christians to prosper. Satan's evil system is intentionally designed to keep people in poverty, living from paycheck to paycheck and in financial debt. However, if we take the time to study what God's Word has to say about financial prosperity, we will find out that Christians can live above this corrupt economical system that Satan has in place. God's plan for our financial prosperity is not limited by the success of the stock market or who is in control of our White House, or if you got that well-deserved salary increase. God will use these channels to bless His people. But remember, God is our source of wealth and not this corrupt world system. God's Word clearly tells us that we should not only be wealthy, but financiers of the kingdom of God. Listener, if you receive nothing else from this teaching, I want to make it very clear that poverty is a perversion of prosperity. And Satan is the author of poverty, not God. God's plan for His children to prosper financially is based on being obedient to God's word, and His prosperity brings no sorrow. This study consists of six parts: an introduction, part one, poverty, Satan's plan to keep Christians ineffective, part two, the law of sowing and reaping, part three, the blessing of Abraham. These four parts we have finished thus far. Part four, how to activate the blessing, which I believe we will finish today. And part five, seed, time, and harvest. Listener, if this is your first time with us, we welcome you and ask that you please go to our website at kccfc.net to hear the previous episodes of this teaching, now archived under our radio broadcast page. We do not want you to have a gap of information on this critical teaching. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. As a reminder, God's prosperity is not only about money, but it most definitely includes financial wealth. This teaching is not about spiritual prosperity or physical prosperity. These topics are important too, and have their place in God's Word. But this teaching is on financial prosperity, which I believe has not been sufficiently taught or taught according to the Word of God in the church today. Therefore, this biblical study is about Christians claiming their legal right to God's riches on this earth and living in financial abundance. Please note that I will be quoting from the New King James Bible translation unless otherwise stated. Let's finish part four, how to activate the blessing. Before I ran out of time last week, we were about to read from Malachi chapter 3. I was explaining that God's blessings in our life is based on us being obedient and trusting the Lord by operating in faith to His commandments. This passage in Malachi explicitly deals with our financial blessings. We are told not to be God robbers, and it also warns us about the penalty due as a result of stealing from God. Let's read Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. Malachi 3, verses 8 through 12. Verse 8 says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." Verse 11, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." Wow, what a promise. And notice who is speaking, our Heavenly Father, who is letting us know that there is a blessing upon being obedient to His word. Now, before we continue on, I want to highlight some important phrases in this passage, starting with verse number 8. Notice that it says, "Will a man rob God?" Will a man rob God? Now, you may be thinking right now, well, how are we robbing God? Well, he makes it very clear. He says, "You have robbed me by not paying your tithes and your offerings." So, first and foremost, if we plan to live in that prosperous state that God has commanded upon His children, then we're going to have to be obedient to pay our tithe and our offerings. Notice what verse number 9 says. It says, "As a result of this, robbing God, you are cursed with a curse." My God. You know, many times we look at people, maybe even our own families, and we're wondering why they are struggling financially, constantly, always living from paycheck to paycheck. Well, if you examine how obedient they are or are not, I think we'll find the answer. Family, we want to make sure that we are prosperous in every area of our life, especially financial prosperity, so that we can live comfortably and be a blessing to others. Let's look at verse number 10. It says, "We should bring the tithes into the storehouse." We should bring the tithes into the storehouse. Now, I'm going to be talking more about the storehouse shortly, but just to let you know, that storehouse is where you are receiving the word of God. That is your local church home. Everyone should be a part of a local church where they can not only give for kingdom purposes, but they can serve so that they can give of their gifts and talents that God gave you to give the good news of Jesus Christ a boost, and also to make sure that you're doing your part so that others in the community can receive the word. Now, notice that it says here, following the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now, says the Lord. Now, this word try, T-R-Y, means to prove him. In other words, this is a challenge for each Christian that God has given us. He says, just check it out. Do your part and see that the blessings will overtake you financially. Then it goes on to say at the bottom of that verse 10, it says, "And will pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." There is going to be such an abundant return on your giving. Not that you couldn't open another bank account, but that there is going to be so much that you're going to want to give for kingdom purposes to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and to be a blessing to others. The only limit is you and I. So it's an individual thing. The more we give, the more God will be able to give back to us in harvest so we can continue to be a blessing and get those divine assignments done that He's called us to do. Amen. Let's go down to verse number 11. It says, "And I," this is God speaking, "will rebuke the devourer." Now, in case you don't know who the devourer is, It's AKA Satan who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And then it goes on to say, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. I'm telling you, this is some good news. When Satan comes, he will not even be able to penetrate because God is in the scene and he is making sure that this Satan cannot get involved in our finances and kill our seed. Then last verse, verse number 12, it says, and all the nations will call you blessed and you will be a delightful land. Notice that it said we will be blessed and we will be a delightful land. This is something that's missing in our communities, in our nation, in our world. Too many Christians are not utilizing the promises of God. And as a result, our communities are slowly deteriorating. But God says, if you will obey me and you will give for kingdom purposes, I will make sure that you will have financial abundance that will overflow and give you the power to assist in financial prosperity for others, not just yourself, but for your children, the generations to come, the community, and the nation. Praise the Lord. I want you to pay close attention to who is the devourer, and that is Satan, not the white man or the black man or any other color man. Satan uses willing men of all colors to do his dirty deeds. But the real enemy of God's people is Satan, who is always looking for a way to steal what rightfully belongs to Christians. I want to make it super clear that man is not your problem, nor your solution. I'm going to repeat that, family. Man is not your problem, nor your solution. Remember, God is our financial source. He is our provider and protector. Let's read from Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Philippians 4, 19. It says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, if you read that whole chapter, you're going to find out that this is specifically talking about those who give for kingdom purposes. He will supply all your need according to his riches, not what's currently in your bank account or what is coming in the future from your channels of blessing, but it's going to come from God the Father and what he possesses. Now, remember, we did a complete study about is God poor, and we talked about heaven and all that God lives in, luxurious, wealthy, living above our imagination. So when he says he will supply all our need according to his riches, he's talking about an unlimited wealth that is beyond our understanding. That's how he wants to supply his children so that we can be those shining examples of the living God here on earth. My God, this is awesome. In the next and last part of this teaching, we will be discussing in detail seed time and harvest. However, in brief, I want to state now that the moment you give, God gives back in multiplication. But there will be a time element involved for the physical manifestation of your financial return. Let's read from Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. Ecclesiastes 11:1. It says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Just like the natural farmer must first plant good seed into good ground and then allow the seed to grow, mature, and finally give fruit, so we as financial farmers must give financial seed first through our faith confessions. Allow our financial seed to grow and finally give us an abundant harvest. Always remember that the promises of our Heavenly Father must be spoken into existence from the spirit realm into this natural realm. And it is our faith talk that makes the blessings to manifest in our life. Please go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6.
Hebrews 11:6. This is a passage that's going to let you know about how we put pressure in the spirit realm through faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him, God. For he who comes to God must believe that he, God, is real or exists, and that he, God, is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Wow. Again, I want to highlight some very important phrases. It says at the very beginning of this verse, "But without faith, it is impossible to please our God." Impossible. You know, many times when we in church or even at home dwelling on the things of God, we're thinking about how can we please you, Heavenly Father? Well, here is the answer. Using our faith, believing in God through faith. That's how we please him. And when you talk about faith, we're talking about acting on God's word. Faith is acting on God's word. The God kind of faith is acting on God's word. So this is how we're going to be able to please our Heavenly Father. Then it goes on to say in the last part of that scripture, "And that he, God, is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So this is how he wants us to operate, diligently. Diligently seeking him, and the way we diligently seek him is by studying his word, understanding his word, and then applying his word. Now this diligently, this word diligently, when it comes to the things of God, is talking about faithful application to one's work. Faithful application to one's work. So we have to faithfully study his word and then apply his word when we want to seek what God wants for our lives. Each week, I give a short description of this study and state that if you receive nothing else from this teaching, I want to make it very clear that poverty is a perversion of prosperity. And Satan is the author of poverty, not God. Satan's mode of operation is to pervert all that is good and wonderful that God created for mankind. God does not sleep, Satan does not sleep, nor does he take time off. He is constantly trying to keep the blessings promised to us from manifesting in our life. Satan does not want the promises of God to manifest in your life. But I'm here to tell you that we have good news in Jesus. So let's go and read from John 10:10. Jesus is speaking. John 10:10. It says, "The thief, aka Satan, does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I, Jesus, have come that they," referring to those of us who are in the sheepfold, "may have life, and that they," us again, the sheepfold, "may have it more abundantly." That's something to shout about. The good news is that through salvation in Jesus, we can stop the devil from stealing, killing, and destroying us. Jesus has given us the authority through our faith confessions that line up with God's holy word to keep Satan under our feet. That's what we have to remind Satan every morning when we get up and say, "Thank you, Father, for another day, another opportunity to be your word and operate according to your word." You need to tell Satan, "I'm up and I'm dangerous in Jesus." Let's read Matthew 18:18. Matthew 18:18. It says, "Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Again, I want to highlight some important phrases in this scripture. It says, "Whatever you bind on earth." Well, how do we bind on earth? Through our words. We're going to have to use the word of God in order to make sure that those evil assignments that Satan brings against us will not flourish. So we're going to have to keep him under our feet through the Word of God, speaking the Word of God over our lives. Case in point, you got a bad report from the doctor. He says you're going to have to do a surgery, that there is a life-threatening tumor in your body. Well, you're going to bind that evil tumor with the Word of God. Don't be foolish. Go ahead and follow through with what the doctor has prescribed. But you pray and bind that sickness, that tumor, cast it out of your body with the Word of God. Because the Word of God says that with Jesus' stripes, you are healed. So that means that if you are, you already are. And as a result of your faith confessions, you can cause the change in your body as a result of putting pressure in the spirit realm. Then it goes on to say, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, how do we loose on earth? By our words. So when you speak the words promised to us through our Heavenly Father, you are loosing those blessings in your life in this earth realm. Case in point, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You are loosing that promise of wealth and prosperity in your life based on God's promise. Christians, we must individually and collectively do the binding and loosing here on earth. And this binding and loosing is by our words. We control the manifestation of God's blessings in our life and in the world through our words of faith. The scripture tells us that we must confess or speak out loud the word daily. And it's up to us to speak prosperity over our finances. Let's read Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Proverbs 18:21. We are going to come to find out that speaking God's word is a divine law that God placed in this earth realm for our success. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Wow. Again, death and life are in the power. Now, this Hebrew word for power is authority. The death and life are in the power or authority of the tongue. And they're referring to, when they talk about tongue in this scripture, our words. Our words. Because we don't speak words with just our mind. We have to give voice through our voice box. And our tongue is essential for enunciating the words that we are thinking of. So we need to use our words to combat Satan. And those who love it or consistently speak those words of faith will eat its fruit. Now, eat its fruit is positive or negative depending on what you have been speaking. So you need to make up in your mind, Christian, that you're going to speak words that line up with God's word and receive the promises that have already been accomplished in Jesus. Amen. Let's continue exploring this truth regarding speaking life to our finances by also reading from Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3, and then Proverbs 13, verse 22. Let's start with 13:3. It says, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Oh, family, this is so very important. We're going to have to be so mindful of the words that we speak regarding our own life, the lives of our loved ones, and our communities, this world, and this nation. Don't speak the negative. That's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to bring death and destruction to yourself, your loved ones, your community, your nation, your world. But listen what this scripture says. Verse 3 says, he who guards his mouth or words preserves his life. But he who opens wide his lips, in other words, constantly talking negative words, shall have destruction. Don't destroy yourself, family. Look unto your hope, which is in Jesus Christ. Find out how he spoke over situations, and then repeat his words that you may live in that victory. Let's go to verse 22, Proverbs 13:22. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Oh, family, it is a good thing to leave an inheritance to your children's children. So if you want to be a good man, then this is one area that we're going to have to work on. And that is that we will pass on to our children's children wealth. Now notice that what happens to the wealth of the sinner? It is stored up for the righteous. If you are a child of the Most High God, you are the righteous. This is a blessing that will carry over, not just from your individual life, but for the generations to come. Family, I'm sorry I am out of time. But I do want you to return next week as we continue with our study, Prosperity for God's People.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.